joint meeting taking place between ourselves as well as the Science and Technology PC. We've also received a request for economic development and energy, so that will continue. Members, is there any apologies?
We only have two apologies, that of Mr. Bonamo and Mr. Kheto. Thanks.
So we are noting those apologies, and we're asking our members then to take the seats. We, just to indicate, we also saw a new member to the support of the committee here. The one next to Anil. I don't know if the members remember this young man. Okay. He's focusing on public hearings processes. There was an intensive public hearing process on basic education for the last 2 months plus. We've in fact indicated to Ms. Van Dennis that we understand the lack of his availability. Dennis, welcome back. This meeting, therefore, as members can see, we will be focusing on local government CETA, budget and strategic plans, SWOT analysis, provincial allocation, plans to reduce unemployment among young people. Just to say to the CETA, the President has given a very strong mandate in terms of the issue around unemployed and unemployable. And clearly this falls directly within your focus. We also do know that to move from something that was to something that must be, there's always a transitional challenge. And obviously we are in that space. So it's how we balance that particular challenge. The move for planning and the move for action, that's always the trick. But welcome to our committee. I would want members to, if we can finish this meeting, at least by the latest 22:11, going for 2:15 for the very latest, so that we then can join at 11 o'clock the PC on science and technology. Also, the CETA indicates is that it's not there's a sequence of CETAs that we're engaging with. And one of the areas that we realized last week is especially the overlap of this CETA with other CETAs. And at times, the system doesn't allow people to work in that collaborative way. But can we give over to the delegates of local government CETA to introduce themselves and then to take us through the presentation? Members do know that we will engage as we continue. Obviously, depending on the areas that we covered in this presentation, so I'll guide you in that.
Well, thank you very much, the Honourable Chairperson and the members of the committee. My name is Sakumzi Somi, who's a councillor which has taken on as the chairman of the CETA from the same authority in the last week. Authority meeting. The former chairman has just apologized. He could not be part of the meeting because of some engagement. I'm with the CEO of the CETA, Ms. Gosi. She's on my right. And then on my left, there's Ms. Davis, who is a sector skills manager. And all three of us are going to be engaging on matters of presentation and discussion thereafter. So we welcome this opportunity. In agreeing with the chairperson of this committee, that there will seem to be some sort of overlap, as you would hear, with other features. For example, if you take into consideration what exists currently in as far as matters that relate to water. They are not with local government sector. But as we are working in the scope of municipalities in terms of coverage, that is one of the municipal functions, and that therefore necessitates that from time to time would somewhat assist fund initiatives that relate to skilling capacity in as far as water issues are concerned, irrespective. And so when you listen to various sectors, that might come up mainly in the energy sector. We are somewhat made a presentation in a committee which has been assigned to listen to such kind of issues in terms of reconfiguration of the sector. We hope that when that process is finalized, some other things will somewhat emerge to consolidate the operations of the sector currently. For example, other things that are challenging us is the fact that if you look into policing at the local government level, that is a function which relates in terms of policy at the national level in terms of safety and security and so forth. But all those instances are the instances which help with how do we begin to enforce at the municipal level to observe the levies which are provided for such areas of scaling our own employees. But I'm going to give to the CEO to make the presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Good morning, the Chairperson, the Honourable Members of Parliament, and the Department of Education. Thank you very much for giving us this opportunity to appear before the committee. I will continue with the presentation. As requested by the committee, the presentation is structured as follows. We look at the mandate, the budget and strategic plans for 2010 and 11, and then the budget analysis for the 2009-10 financial year, the SWOT analysis of the local government sector, provincial allocations and special projects for 2010, and then plans to reduce the high unemployment rate among young people. As mandated by the Skills Development Act, as a sector, we must develop a sector skills plan. The sector skills plan actually determines the work which the sector does. From the sector skills plan, we identify skills which are scarce and critical in our sector, and then we use that sector skills plan to implement what the sector needs. And then we promote learnership, we register learnership agreements, and then we also have to be accredited by SAQUA as an ETQA, Education Training and Quality Assurer. That means that we are credit providers to actually implement training in the sector, scarce and critical skills. And then we also disperse grants as part of our mandate. We implement the National Skills Development Strategy. This we do in terms of the SLA, which we sign with the department and with the minister of the Department of Higher Education and Training. And then we also have to submit to the Director General our budget report and financial statements according to the Public Finance Management Act. We also have to submit plans and reports on implementation of the sector skills plan and the service level agreement. This we do on a quarterly basis. As a local government sector, we have a scope of coverage on which we actually work according. The scope of coverage is covered in terms of our SIC codes, the standard industry classification code, and is restricted to the following. We've got metropolitan municipalities, those are your big six metropolitan municipalities, and then we've got local municipalities, we've got district municipalities, and then we've got municipal entities. These are entities which work directly with municipalities to implement requirements of municipalities. And then we've got organized local government, which is represented by SALGA, that's the South African Local Government Association. And then we've got organized traditional led leaders and traditional councils. We've also got, I've actually left out organized labor. Organized labor in our case is represented by Imachi and SAMU for the local government. And then what we did at the local government center, because there's so many needs arising from municipalities, the challenges which our municipalities faces, when we actually take our sector skills plan, what we did, we identified areas of focus which we then work under to actually be able to implement skills needs within the municipality. What we did, we identified these areas as infrastructure and service delivery. This area deals with artisan training, technical skills needed in municipalities for the municipality to actually be able to deliver services needed in the community. And then we also look at financial viability. Financial viability in this case, we look at skills for municipal finance needed in municipalities. This especially as regulated by National Treasury for the competencies necessary for municipal financial officials to be able to implement. And then under financial viability, we also look at things like property value, where there's been a very a strong need for the CISA to really skill municipal officials. And then we also look at community-based participation and planning. This is training on the community, especially around ward committees, and really looking at how the CISA can assist communities to participate in IDPs and all other structures in municipalities which are in the community. And then we also look at management and leadership. This deals with training for councillors, training for municipal officials also at higher levels to really give them the management and leadership skills needed in a municipality. And then we also look at ABET, that's our adult basic education training. There's still quite a need in the sector. Currently, that's one of the challenges we have. We need to look a little bit more at others. And then we've also got workplace training systems. These are training committees and local labor forum members, especially in the workplace. So that's how we currently are focusing our training in the sector and looking at that as those six strategic focus areas. In terms of budget for 2010-11, we just did a quick analysis of the budget. The total revenue of the CETA we're looking at about 286, because what we do, we normally sign an SLA with the Department of Education. We prepare that SLA around September, and by that time, we normally don't have enough information on the current year, so we have to revise it based on the actuals which come for the year. So these figures have been revised, taking into account the prior year actuals which have come through already. The admin, the total revenue, we're looking at 308 million on the revised amount. And then this includes our admin levy income of 10%, the 34 million. The admin levy covers our administration costs. That would be salaries, rent, and our normal operational costs are covered on the admin side, and that is limited to 10%, which means we've budgeted for 34 million in the 2010-2011 financial year. And then in terms of mandatory grant levy income, we're looking at an amount of 171 million. The 171 million is returned back to our employers, which are municipalities in this case, in terms of mandatory grants. This is done on submission of a workplace skills plan, where the municipality actually would give us information on how they intend to train, and also on their previous year's annual training report, where they would actually be giving us information on how they've done on the previous workplace skills plan. And then we have a discretionary grant rate income of 20%, which will be 71 million in this case. And this is the fund we use in terms of projects, critical projects in the sector, and any other special skills which are needed in the sector, which have been identified through the sector skills planning process, and also through the workplace skills plan, which has been submitted by the municipality. Investment income, this is income on our bank account. That amount goes back to the discretionary grant to be used for special projects in the CETA. And then in terms of total expenses, we're looking at 303 million, and this comprises of our administration expenses of 34 million. That 34 million is actually what we revised, and we think is what we will end as a CETA. So we're not allowed to spend more than what we've received. And in terms of mandatory grants, our participation has actually been very high from municipalities. We're looking at about 95-96% participation, and that's quite a good participation. So out of the 171 million, we...
What do you mean by participation?
Okay, in terms of mandatory grants, we pay mandatory grants based on a workplace skills plan and annual training reports received from municipalities. We've got about 283 municipalities. We normally get a participation rate of about 96%, which is about 274 municipalities actually submitting their workplace skills plan.
Was there any assessment, so they get the grant back? The mandatory grant, they actually comply and they get the money, etc.?
Yes.
Now, was there any assessment done, say, over the last 6 months or so, that we would be able to have our hand on, about the quality of the impact, therefore, differently put, understanding this, but understand, meaning, yes, so we are seeing they comply and they have the work skills plans, so the money will go there for training, this is my understanding in terms of that intervention. And the capacitation, however, we do not see in a very real way the capacitation of municipalities taking place. So I don't understand that issue. So clearly it speaks to a question of just the monitoring and the quality of it. Understanding that a lot of the capacitation issues in municipalities is not necessary in terms of the type of training that you are providing, most probably it's an engineering problem, but so.
Janice Davis will actually take that question,
Chairperson. What we do, and we actually do have reports which are available. I think that the CEO actually has them on her laptop, if I'm not mistaken, so we can leave those behind for the committee. We do an annual evaluation of all the workplace skills plans which are submitted by the municipalities. And those reports actually give a very detailed breakdown. We're currently doing it again for the workplace skills plans, which were submitted on the 30th of June. What we have found is that a lot, in fact, most of the training being conducted by municipalities is not in the municipal key performance areas. So it essentially falls into that category of what we call non-priority training. It does not assist the municipality to achieve on their IDP objectives or on to perform municipal functions. The other thing that we are picking up, which is coming through more and more strongly, it's actually an accounting issue. And it gets back to the way that National Treasury has currently prescribed the annual financial statements for municipalities. The mandatory grant, which we pay to the municipalities, is reflected by most municipalities as income, which means that it then goes from, as being received as income, it goes into their general operational budget and is not necessarily earmarked for training. It then becomes very difficult. Neither the Auditor General nor the CETA can actually track back and identify how that money is indeed being spent. Because it is not declared, it's not ring-fenced in any way. I mean, it's not kind of earmarked. One of the things we ask, and I believe that this is a problem which affects most of the public, most of the CETAs which work within the public sector, and I talk public sector broadly, and it is because of the setup of the financial accounts. This is something that we have raised with Treasury, and that with COGTA and with hopefully with the Department of Higher Education and Training Support, we can actually make a presentation to Treasury just to request them to actually reflect mandatory grant income, not as income, but as a skills development grant, in which case you can actually then track and see what's happened to it. Because the CETA has indeed disbursed more than R1 billion in 10 years to municipalities for training.
Can I, I'm noting the end here. Can I ask the question now, what is local government in terms of the assessment being done? And I understand the Treasury and request Treasury to make it some form of a regulatory point somewhere with the word. But it's less for me that, it's more for me the issue of if we then know that WSPs doesn't necessarily, it doesn't speak to the strategic imperatives. And I understand certain of those things would not be funded by a local government seat in terms of training, because some is possibly the head of the engineering that needs to be capacitated. I'm not speaking that. I'm speaking operational. The in a sense, to keep the municipality in its operations going. That generally would fall under that domain. So clearly, in your response, the majority of that WSPs doesn't speak to that. Added to that, they then throw it into the general pot. Mm-hmm. They plan as if it is some form of some investment that they are able to identify next year. We are eligible for so much, and hence we are planning in our normal operational budget for that. Knowing this, apart from speaking to Treasury, what is the CETA in its management oversight processes doing to address this issue? And has done, rather, not want to do, because we can do things in the future, but what we need to do. And I suspect you were the CEO, or you were recently appointed?
I'm
but you were in the operation.
I was in
okay,
the
cool.
Operation.
So you're eligible to speak.
Yes. As Chairperson, the difficulty we've had as a CETA is that in terms of the current act as it stands, we don't really have a mandate. We have visited municipalities and actually checked from the finance side, because that's where I'm coming from mostly, from the finance side, and actually work with municipalities to try and understand what normally happens. What happens in a municipality, when the money gets in, it goes into the CFO. It will go to the CFO's account. And then the SCF then struggles to actually get that money back into training. Part of this is because of the actual level of SCF in municipalities. They don't really, they're not in the proper position to skills development facilitators. So the skills development facilitators are not in a correct position to really be able to influence where the money goes. We go to municipalities, we've actually found a number of things. For instance, some of the problems is that they underpay the levy itself. So those are really the challenges we found from the financial side. We go to the we go to the financial officers conferences to really try and influence that the finance people understand skills development, and the money which the CETA pay is meant for training, not to really clear out deficits which happen in municipalities. So, but the actual, in terms of the act, we don't really have a mandate. We influence, we try and speak to the CFOs, but the CETA doesn't really have a mandate to get into the municipality.
Thank you, Ms. Kusi. Can we hear Ms. Nelson? Is there any other hand? And Ms. Kusi?
Just in mind, I think I'm on to some of mine, was that whether these mandatory grants are paid out based on the WHP, or whether it's paid out on actual training that is done. It seems to me as if it goes out on WHP, but the information that we get from local municipalities is that it's paid out on actual training that is done. Thank you.
Okay, so the mandatory grant is paid out on the basis of the workplace skills plan. It's paid out on the basis of the workplace skills plan, which is what the current regulations say. We are also, in terms of the current regulations, very limited in terms of the conditionality that we can attach to the mandatory grant. What the local government sector does to leverage or to direct, attempt to direct training in municipalities into these kind of key priority areas is we will only give a discretionary grant to a municipality for training which is in any of those strategic focus areas. And if a municipality is applying, for instance, for training for unemployed persons to be funded by the discretionary grant, that training must be linked to the achievement of IDP objectives. For instance, if one of their IDP objectives is to eradicate the bucket toilet system, we would then consider a grant for training of unemployed in plumbing, for argument's sake. Or the alternative is that training for the unemployed must assist the municipality to achieve its LED strategy. So there must be a linkage in either of those, either with the IDP or with their LED strategy, from a discretionary grant angle. In terms of the mandatory grant, it is paid according to the workplace skills plan, not according to, they also need to submit a training report, but they are payments are made for training in the current year.
One of the issues that I don't understand you. But let me test my understanding. CEO, you are saying that for the mandatory grants, they get reflected by municipalities as income, and they don't necessarily go to where they are targeted to go. And then is it therefore fair to say that the reason there is a high rate of submission from municipalities the next time is not because they have perfected the strategic plans or implemented them, not because they have done what they were mandated to do, but their diligence is because they are gunning for income again. So what you claim as success is not success against the mandate and the strategic plan implementation, but against the municipalities gunning for income rather than doing what is mandated to do. And you are then saying there is no record, neither for the CETA nor for the TESA. So we are in clashing, in other words, we are in this abnormal situation, and we are treating an abnormal situation as if it was a normal situation, and we do business as usual.
So we churn money where money is not meant to go, and they come back, and what we say is success is when municipalities, more than 90% of them, come back for more. And that is what the CETA says is their achievement. Unacceptable.
You understood the issue. Your little understanding of the CETA landscape on the municipalities is exactly what she said. So I think that's a critical concern. I mean, like, it's a serious problem. That's why I triggered that question initially, because there was something strange of a 97% in municipalities and the impact. Maybe we can better.
It's a pity perhaps I may not be in agreement with what is being said. I don't know, but I think there's an issue here. Because if you look at the this chaining thing, although the argument, depending on the angle from which you come, both may seem to
Can I say that to members? It was in the pigeonhole.
Mm-hmm.
The only issue around the first slide why I allowed that question to rise was because there is obviously now, it was in a different format, this one, the first one, or the main one, not these ones that you are referring to in terms of the table. So, but it was sent to everyone, members, just to correct that. Continue? But then if there's extra copies, let's circulate.
Chair, my point was that I was basically drawing the attention of members to this document which deals with training, so that I actually strengthen my point. To say that if you look at this, it will point at another picture. Those of the municipalities which might have done a lot of training, most probably on all the areas as required, will be municipalities which have got financial markets themselves, even before any claims or anything like that. Although the other argument, if you listen to the CEO and the rest, is that those bigger municipalities perhaps are able to conduct training because they may not need extra cash. They themselves have got enough revenue. Sufficient, we can even deal with training once they received the grant. That's the argument which is coming. But I'm saying municipalities develop their WSP, then it is on the basis of that you can be able to say this is how training went on and this is how we are able to claim. And as indicated, there has to be a report given of the actual training. Because if you just give a paper or a document and say this is how we are going to conduct training, it does not necessarily mean that training will happen. It doesn't. And there's no point in paying out money simply because there's a particular program. You know? But then municipalities indicate their plan. They actually even register or enroll people or get service providers to do the training. And it is on the basis of that you are able to claim. Not the other way around. So smaller municipalities, because they don't have that financial muscle, they may not even be able to conduct that training. Because their cash flows and everything else is a challenge. I think we know that story. I don't want to get to that. So I think we may want to get our facts correct in this particular
Yeah, understanding, member, that what we are hearing from the CETA and its management in terms of the quality assessment on the WSPs in the context of the training that's being provided and where the money eventually lands, there are issues there. So what we'll do is we'll, I think it's an issue, it's something that we want to delve deeper. Chairperson?
Thank you very much, Chair. I think what we must consider is the fact that the grant itself is split into two. There's a mandatory portion, which then directs you as to how do you have to allocate that in a sense of being forced to do so. There's a discretionary portion, which then gives you leverage in terms of measure of control. On the mandatory one, it goes with risk because it's a forward supply, and the supply drive puts us in a risk which is not regulated in a sense which is going to give a measure of control. And then in highlighting that risk, you would therefore enter into one of the elements that you might get into this kind of, it does not say overall, you'd have municipalities who are delved into this kind of cash, and therefore they would pay. So I think the analysis which has been given by the member just recently gets into that there will be municipalities who themselves would observe the fact that we are in the skills drive, and therefore they would do so. In receipt of such reports, which reports follow the provision of the funds, so the funds supplied and then followed by the report, which would somewhat be able to give you an indication as to how that a mandatory grant has been spent in terms of that a kind of a initiative in terms of the work, the skills which are directed at the municipal level. So in a sense, when you view it, we must view it as a risk which needs us to say how can we begin to intervene as a state to ensure that indeed skills fund is skills fund, and it can be directed anywhere else. And we must say, to our own experience as a CETA, we have indeed experienced good practices in observance of such, and we have as well observed bad practices in as far as that, because it goes deeper into where municipalities' base has collapsed. And it's very difficult for us to enforce municipalities to do things on the mandatory nature of our own allocation.
Can I say that I think we're not dealing, I've heard clearly from the presenters in the beginning, after the questions were triggered, I've heard that the majority of the WSP, in the context of the mandatory grant and in the context of the way the implementation is happening, there's an issue there.
So
to the extent where the CETA then requested, most probably we should go to Treasury to reinforce that point. So we haven't said that's an issue. I didn't hear that the Member Makabela, I didn't hear that there's a few municipalities where, in a sense, they are under financial difficulty. And hence, I'm saying general, I'm not speaking, meaning not the better off municipalities in terms of the tax base in an area. I didn't hear that issue. So I don't want to assume that that's the problem. I get a sense that is not the problem in this context. And it's most probably a good one to engage more in depth in. Because I think it tells us something. It's not the first feature. I think the one, Ms. Davis, indicated in the public sector, it's an issue. Differently put, even with, for example, the PCETA, public service CETA, there would be a serious issue in relation to this. We've picked up in the NSF allocations in the province rather going in the operations when it's supposed to go into the actual what it was intended to. So here's something that needs to be zoomed in deeper. I've noted the hand of Member Bonswane,
is to say that we can get the diagnosis of the problem right, and it seems as if there is no proper regulatory capacity for management to act to make sure that the money spent on skills development is in fact spent on skills development. If that's so, then you need a regulation. And the regulation doesn't come from you. It comes from the Department of Higher Education and Training. That's where it comes from. So that's the one part. And the other part is to the extent that there's dereliction of duty on the part of management, that has to be fixed. And so and those are two separate issues. And what you're suggesting is the lack of regulation. And I can see how that's a problem. If this is a company, you would be, in fact, charged with not doing your duty. That is, if management is failing to act, deal with the issue. But you're not a company, so I understand. So solution to the problem is better regulation and then developing management capacity. That's right, isn't it? And the responsibility for that is the problem.
Member Bonsuane.
I really don't know where to start because, you know, from my side, where we deal almost every week with municipalities at the portal level where municipalities are struggling, you know. But I hear that one of their mandates is to steal municipal officials and councillors. Coming from where I come, I don't think these things happen. Do you approach municipalities or municipalities that must approach you for such training? That's one question. And second one, do all municipalities get are they sitting with these training funds? Do they all get because I want to go back to them and say, hey, why are you not using these funds for training? Do they all these countries get these funds for training?
Can I get into the fund?
Just respond very briefly on the last part of the question, do all municipalities get the training funds? Currently, there are 5 municipalities which are not compliant, and so this year will not get training mandatory grants. One, unfortunately, is Port St. John's in the Eastern Cape, where they have not been contributing their levy payments, and so therefore cannot benefit from the mandatory grant. The other 4 are municipalities in the Northern Cape. Now, I don't wish to take any municipality's name in vain. I'm stand subject to correction here. However, I know that all 4 are in the Northern Cape. Karoo Hoogland is one. Gaima, I think, is another. Those are the 2 that I'm a little uncertain about. Siangmuma is one, and Umsobomvu. All the other municipalities are compliant, and they do have training funds at their disposal.
Can Mr. Wynn?
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I just want to mention some leverage when it comes to the submission of your WSP-ATR. The Act provides for leverage, you know, to manage the approval of your WSP-ATR. And I'm specifically, I don't want to waste your time because I know you've got limited time, but specifically Section 10.1b of the Skills Development Act and Regulation 10 of the CETA grant regulations provide a leverage. In short, it boils down to CETA must approve the WSP as well as the ATR. WSP, as we know, Workplace Skills Plan, your annual training report, in terms of the approved sector skills plan. Now, the CEO did refer to the sector skills plan and training is happening in terms of the sector skills plan. Now, therefore, your WSP ATR processes and the approval thereof when it comes to the payment must be in line. So there is leverage for the CETA to ensure compliance before the approved payment.
Mr. Wanda, you're saying you don't need to go to Treasury or to go to a regulation. That's what you're hearing.
Chair, for now I'm of the view that there's no need, but in order to improve, maybe to make it more clear, possibly one will have to look at maybe improving your current CETA grant regulations. And I can just mention, Chair, that the department is busy looking at revising the current grant.
Now, you see, we've got a situation in South Africa that we had, but I think, remember the RDP officials? Then we had RDP, then we had Masukani, and then we had CDWs, and then we had this. So we are able to every time change names at times for the same issue. So I want to problematize the point around. I'm hearing from the CTA and the person that's dealing operation, Ms. Davis, that indeed so we need to do this A, B, and C thing. That then says that even if management does all of those things, that still you need some regulation. I'm not asking about the enhancement. What you are saying, in fact, you don't need the enhancement on its existing legislation or regulation. You'll be able to deal with this issue. Is that what I'm hearing? I'm not saying that you cannot strengthen. But it doesn't mean if you can always perfect any piece of regulation. But are you saying that in its existing envelope that this issue can be addressed?
Chair, I'm positive it can be done. Like you've indicated, There is room for improvement when we are talking about enhancement.
Now, I want to have a direct response. I mean, Ms. Davis.
Sorry, Chair. I don't wish to. That is not the advice that we received 2 or 3 years ago from our attorney. And it is not the advice of the Auditor General either. When they are doing mandatory grant audits, they are very clear that the mandatory grant is payable upon receipt of the workplace skills plan and annual training report in the accepted format on or by the 30th of June. And that is what, and there is a level of vagueness in those regulations, which was why we then went while we then sought a legal opinion.
Can I? There was a hand earlier. Is it on this issue, Member Dikobo?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to deal on this, because then we're going to park it, then we're not going to get into it further.
No, I'm really not impressed by the response that I get from the officials. Number one, I would agree with them. If this was some kind of a CETA-wide problem, why is it peculiar to this CETA? We haven't had the same problems from the other CETAs, and they are governed by the same rules, by and large. My understanding, Honorable Chairperson, is that the...
Remember, they cover also some of the, like if you take also, if that goes into the private sector, if you start doing that analysis on what actually is being paid and where does the mandatory grant goes when it goes to a wholesale company, is it actually going into skills? There's serious questions on that. So I think why this came up was precisely because obviously the interest from members around municipalities and the importance to ensure delivery of services.
Let me conclude, my understanding is that the WSP, when it comes from a workplace, is co-signed by the representative of management and the representatives of workers. It must be approved so that a payment can be made. And then there is the ATR that confirms that the training has taken place. Of course, payment shall have been made by them. But I'm trying to understand why, because then you have a board that would generally approve or disapprove. And the city officials are talking about non-compliance. Now, I want to extend the definition of non-compliant. Non-compliant should also mean you have not used the money. When the annual training report comes, this annual training report, somebody must say, but sir, but ma'am, you have not used the money for what it was intended for. And when the next WSP comes, when approval comes, somebody must say, no, we can't approve this. But also, I'm trying to understand, again, my definition of mismanagement. Because mismanagement for me means misappropriation, I'm sorry. Misappropriation simply means using money for what it was not intended for. Where is PMMA in all these things? I think we have the rules. I agree with the Honorable Wu on that. We have the rules. Maybe people who are not prepared to implement the rules.
Okay, we get the next two. This issue, then we'll park it and we'll give a way forward on that.
Yeah, Chair, I think I agree with Honorable Dikun. In terms of my understanding with training, is that when you submit the WSP, you submit the deadlines is normally around the 30th of June, obviously. You submit with the annual training report.
Mm-hmm.
And the annual training report is an account against the planned training.
Mm-hmm.
So my question or my concern is to say, how does the city continue every year to provide the resources or money or pay that particular municipality if the municipality is not accounting? Because if they submit the WSP and they submit the annual training report, obviously you've got to do a cross-check between what was planned for training and what has happened in the training. And in that instance, you need to sit down and say, this is what was not accounted for, and therefore the money was not spent on this one. Unless training does happen. So I'm just trying to understand the difference between the annual training report. Have they found discrepancies? What is it that is contained with the annual report in terms of training? Because I would agree with Honorable Makubele. I come from City of Johannesburg. I was a councillor there. We know there's been training, quite a number of training that has been done for leaderships. So it's not all. I can stand here and say it's not all municipalities that are not training. It might be the argument where Comrade Makubele is arguing, and maybe they would have to confirm it. If the bigger metros, for example, because of the capacity they have and because of the resources that they have, they are able to take the money and utilize it for that particular training. For example, we have JRA, which has been doing rollover every year of EPWP training together with the city and construction city. But that's what I'm saying. Generalizing, perhaps what the teacher need to assist us with is to get into specifics. In terms of the, maybe where we are looking, because I'm looking at what Comrade Bakwela was reflecting to, it's a proposed training. If it's a proposed training, and it looks, for example, in Motel, not completed, for example, meaning that there is no planned training in Motel District Municipality. That's my understanding. And therefore, if there's no training, meaning there's no money that would go to that municipality. But if you have, and you look at that, and you compare to the discretionary funds that go out, does it correlate? Are we dispersing money even when people are not really doing what they're supposed to do? So instead of meeting the target every year, we just disperse without putting the mechanisms. I would want to say, Chair, in the interim, if you have your checks and balances between your ATR and WSP, you should be able somehow to enforce the municipality to do the training, because they would know that if we do not do training, we would not get money the following year. Necessarily, while there's a gap in terms of legislation, but I don't think that the gap exists to the point that the CETA becomes toothless and they can't do anything. Thank you.
Thank you. The last person is something, and then we're going to get the response. And then we'll, it's fine. To the CEO, clearly I think the way Member Kubai has summarized it, there is clearly a question from what the CTA is saying and what the department then says around the strength of what's in the existing regulation in terms of not only to oversee, but in a sense to intervene. Now we are hearing two, in a sense, two positions here. Even I get a sense that the CTA at some stage were concerned about and they went to go and get some legal opinion. Would we be able to get a synopsis of that issue, even the legal opinion there? Pass that also on to Mr. Wynn. And can the two of these institutions tell us, we would prefer, because it's easy for us to always say that we need laws, we need regulations. But at times it is just in its operational oversight. If you do an analysis about what our member Whip said around the WSP vis-a-vis the annual ATRs, and then to then see what comes out, and then even for it. So the question is, are you by law instructed then just to transfer that money even if you see these problems? I think that's really the type of dilemma. If it is, then we must know it, because then obviously it needs to be corrected. If it's not, then it's a question of the management and just needing to, in a sense, plan in advance for that type of, in a sense, harmonization of the issues. So we're going to ask the department and the local government CTA just to look into this matter and then, in a sense, to report in 2 weeks' time for us. Not necessarily to come here, but to then at least give us an analysis of what it is, in, if it's in the best interest. We would want to avoid any regulatory and legal changes where we can, because the answers is not always found in that. The answers is found in just the way we do our business. But if it can be avoided, then obviously we will identify that. It would be good in the meantime just to pass on the documents that you've referred to, CEO, that I think Ms. Davis referred to. Can we now move on to, but clearly it's an issue, I think it's a very important discussion that we have. Also, if you would be able to make an analysis, look at the turnaround strategy in municipalities. Take the 20 municipalities of, you know, not necessarily 10 in the category where they're not the weakest in terms of financial taxpayers' income. The argument that Member Makubela advanced, the concern that possibly you'll find the problem. And it's away from metros because there's, how many, 200 and something municipalities in this country. So I'm not speaking about the metros only. But just, you've heard the possible issue that he raised. Just reflect on that also and indicate to us what's the substance of that argument in terms of just, because if it is so, then obviously it speaks to something else as well. Can we give you now, we're not going to interrupt you. If you can then, in the next 5 minutes, just go to the essence of the other issues.
Thank you, Chair. Okay, we've just summarized our strategic plan. We're looking at assets and training, 50 million over the next 3 years, starting in this final area of 1,000 learners with the Development Bank of South Africa. And then we've got a local government accounting certificate at NQS level 3, 18 million for 1,000 learners. That's addressing the lower levels of municipal officials. And then property valuers, a big issue currently. We're looking at 3.5 million and 100 learners. And also we're going to be developing qualifications on that. And then we're looking at ICT and LED training of 13.7 million. We're looking at about 1,860 learners. This is skilled programs and full qualifications across the municipality. Infrastructure asset management, 5 million. A big issue also in municipalities, we don't know where the assets are, so we're assisting municipalities around that. Municipal finance continuing, NQF level 5 and 6, 14 million, 400 learners. And then skills audit, the second phase, 5 million. And then we've also got a project with the DEF FA, South Africa project, of 3.9 million. This is AVES and sign language training, and we're looking at about 570 learners. Association for the Blind, AVES,
1,180,000 learners. We also have got a project currently which has gone on tender with the Department of Water Affairs, because we still have to do training on water with municipalities. We're looking at about 800 process controllers on water and waste management. This is also across a number of qualifications, and also we're looking at RPL issues. And then we participation in broader government objectives. We have a lot of memorandum of understanding with a number of agencies to be able to actually implement training in the sector. We've got cooperative governance and traditional affairs, Department of Water and Environment, DBSA, National House of Traditional Leaders, the National Treasury, especially around municipal finance. We also work with the South African Local Government Association, Department of Public Works. We're doing another project with them starting mid-year. CITA on the training of on the local government accounting certificate, and also the South African Council of Property Valuers. And then budget analysis, this is now the part. Our figures have been audited currently. We've done more than what we actually had budgeted for. And on the 2009 achievement, on the 2009 achievement, 95% of submission of WSPs by municipalities. Since audit phase one has been completed across the 283 municipalities, 600 councillors trained in various programs. In terms of the councillors, we get requests from municipalities, and we do a lot of work with SALGA, and also we also do look at what comes out through the WSPs and approach our stakeholders. 303 municipal employees graduated on the local government accounting certificate, 356 SDFs trained, and we've got 3,700 learners trained on our committee programs. We've got a separate document on SWOT analysis. I'll open now. There's actually a document, a DAP, with our SWOT analysis. We've actually looked at our SWOT strengths, better understanding of the sector, and the weaknesses around it is the limited capacity in HR within the CISA. And opportunities is responsive to training programs. Threat is unstable municipalities, lack of clear vision and mission in municipalities. And then in terms of the research capacity, we're dependent on consultants on capacity. That's a weakness. And then we need to capacitate some of the internal staff. But in terms of proper research, we still need to deal with an external consultant organization. And the threat there could be amalgamation of the local government CETA. And then physical presence of the CETA, we've got six physical provincial presence, although we have to deal with all the nine provinces. So that's quite that's a strength and also a weakness, because we're not in all the provinces. And then opportunities with the recruitment of graduates intent to provide hands-on support. And then threats again to the amalgamation of the CETA. Presence and visibility, we've done with that. Increased skills development, facilitation, participation in the activities. And then lack of participation by senior management in early CETA activities as a weakness. And then rollout of the MFMA training executive leadership. And then the development aimed at senior management. Threats over reliance on the LGCTA's discretionary grants for funds at all municipality programs. We've actually done an analysis. If we were to train all the officials in for municipal finance according to the national treasury requirement, we'd actually run out of funds immediately. And then we focus limited stakeholders. Some of the weaknesses could be lack of commitment by our own stakeholders, opportunities, corporate training for and capacity for board and policy committees, and then the threat is a reputational risk. Okay, and then on the next slide, provincial allocation, as I've indicated, we currently in 6 provincial offices, which are responsible for all 9 provinces. As an LGC, so we really concentrate on the actual, on each municipality, rather than on the provincial issue. They do come through sometimes through the workplace skills plan. And then we did raise the point that we paid over R1 billion in mandatory grants from 2000 to municipalities, and that mandatory grants currently accounted as income rather than training grants, which actually could be traced like the NSF grants. And then the SSP, WSP, identify critical skills and develop national projects. Some of the things we do, we actually look at the needs and develop a national project. An example is the SAICA project on the local government accounting certificate. That was a need which came through on the SSP and WSP. And then there's also there's a document, a separate document on the additional provincial allocation, which we showed by municipality. In terms of this report, we really look at municipalities, at actual municipalities within a province. For instance, we if you look at the Free State, this is the Free State province, we looked at how municipalities are really doing and what kind of training they are doing. The members that bought this document, for instance, if you look at the Motheo district, was one of the examples, they didn't complete the training portion. And these are things where we actually go back to the municipalities and try and find out why they haven't completed that. Because after we receive all the workplace skills plan, we do a thorough evaluation of the workplace skills plan, including the provincial committees. We also call in some of our stakeholders, SALGA, to actually come and look labor, to really look at what goes into their workplace skills plan in an organization and really assist us with challenges which might be arising on that. Those reports, we've got 9, we've got them for all the 9 provinces.
Been completed, so the section has just been left blank. Okay, where it says 0, it means that no training has taken place in that indicated area. So if you find a 0 under infrastructure and service delivery, none of the proposed training has been in that particular area. In spite of having received the mandatory money. But, you will see that from those tables that there is training that is happening in municipalities, and there is a lot of training. So we shouldn't perhaps present an incorrect image or opinion to the portfolio committee. Training is happening in municipalities. The issue is that it is very often not in priority areas. So it's not actually contributing to the municipality performing appropriately.
Are you done, CEO? The last slide?
Quickly.
The point is, anyone can train, but you've got a mandate, and I think that's the issue. You're supposed to train on particular issues. CEO?
Okay. Last slide. Plans to reduce high unemployment rate. The CYCA project, we've currently got a CYCA project through the L2CISA and the NSF. There's a training of 1,000 unemployed learners to be placed in municipality. This is actually at the NQF 5 and 6 level, that's quite high level. And then we're looking at this project to reduce some of the high unemployment rates. These are unemployed learners. And then the DBSA training of 1,000 learners also over 3 years. These are M3 college students, which have been identified, and some of them will be absorbed at municipalities because they do take artisans. And then also what we do when we assess our WSP, all training for the unemployed, for instance, must assist the municipalities to achieve their IDP objectives, LED strategies, or result in absorption into the municipality. IDP?
Integrated development plans.
And then local economic development, LED. South African Institute of Chartered Accountants. Okay, in most cases, failure to do this in the experience of the local government is simply result in creating expectations around employment which are not likely to be fulfilled. Municipalities may apply to train the unemployed, but those applications are assessed against the integrated development programs and also the LED strategies in their strategies. Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Thank you to the chairperson and CEO and the manager of local government center. I've noted Member Makabela and also Member Kubai. Can I suggest, and Member Mushwana, can I then suggest that clearly what we want to do, it's very clear to me that this is a very important sector. We've got, for example, just to tell the CEO, isn't it two or three of our members sitting on this committee that was part of the the ad hoc committee dealing with service delivery issues. So they went across South Africa. So there's a wealth of experience on local government seat, not necessarily on the technicality of the seat, but in terms of the impact of what's taking place in municipalities. Let's get the three individuals to speak, even if it's not a question, but just an input and give an advice on what needs to be done. It will also help.
So, let me raise about four issues quickly. I want to understand. CITA says the part of their stakeholders, and particularly on organized labor is smart and some. But we talked to organize the local government wherein we identified SALGA. I know that within space, there's Kwana Local, KwaZulu-Natal local government. Perhaps that's why some of the issues, and I think you will know that we will be able to respond whether they are part or why are they not party to that. The second issue. On page 5, you're indicating the areas of focus. You're talking financial viability, talking community participation, all those other things. But there's no mention of economic development. It's only when you come to page 7, where you're dealing with issues of IDP and economic development, LED kind of issues. But I'm saying, why is it not in the main focal areas, not actually indicated? The other, the skills development facilitators, were supposed to be placed correctly in terms of even qualifications and so on and so on. That debate was very serious in the country. And it's like up to now, we haven't been able to resolve it. Why is it a problem? Because you always complain like that, that they don't get recognition within municipalities, they can't influence anything, and therefore their facilitation can't necessarily be different. I would be interested as well, Chair, in how they're dealing with the issues of RPM. You talked RPM, is there progress, how you're handling it, and so on, if there's any work being done in that regard. The last point, which was discussed in a heated manner here, CETA approves as well the workplace skills plan, which is supposed to be based on the sector skills plan, which must be able to identify the priority areas. Mm-hmm. Municipalities do know that if they are to claim or to get any money back, it should be based on those priority areas. And therefore, if they were to go to intergovernmental relations forum in their provinces and so on, obviously, if the report comes like this, you say you trained but did not train on criteria, they get condemned. So no municipality will want to actually have this kind of a report anyway. You know. So I'm saying there's no way in which municipalities may not train in the required areas of priority, because they'll be condemned, like we may condemn them yet, to say you train but you're not training according to what the IDP requirements are like and so on, and what CETA is supposed to be doing. Now, I'm just surprised how can then this workplace skills plan be approved when they are not in line with the priority areas, but you still fund them. You still say, fine, this is the mandatory grant, but you won't report anything that you're training on because you are not training on what we expect you to be doing. I just think there's a problem in that. But it's a matter that we went into earlier and seriously, which must still come forward in terms of substance as to why is it happening like that.
Thank you. We're not going to get into that discussion again. The last two point issues to be raised.
Thanks, Chair. My comment is mainly, I think one of the things that we've got to look at, for example, is how do we, within the CETA and local government, where there are areas or specific provinces who are doing well in terms of training, how do we get those lessons learned and transferred to other municipalities and provinces so that there is some form of assistance that gets given. I mean, for example, in Gauteng, I know when it was MEC Kadan Mahlangu, he introduced a training for specifically women councillors, which ran for almost about 6 months, if I'm not mistaken, so that I was not part of it at that time. And those recipients who were there quite said that they benefited out of it. So I'm just making this as one of the examples. Why are we not finding space or any opportunity to say this province, this municipality is doing well in this area? How do we try and find a way, either through a gathering or sharing information, to be able to assist other municipalities who are battling? Not, so that we find space. I'm a bit concerned, Chair, on the issue of training, if we are to say, because normally you'd find when you hear in the public domain an issue raised to say there is no capacity in municipalities. There is no capacity. Hence, there was an issue of Senza Manje and all those things to try and assist. And I think that this could be or could have been, even throughout the years, an opportunity to develop such a skill within municipalities, to develop your financial people around this financial and administrative, so that we capacitate. We shouldn't be sitting in a position where we are still saying municipalities are battling to have capacity to develop, while there's an opportunity that is like this. As much as 95% of the submissions of the WSP into municipalities, clearly it says to us, whatever is being submitted, whatever is being done as an activity now, is not giving out the output that we and the discussion or the conversation we should be having now is to say, how do we find space to really go back and reprioritize? What are the real priorities that municipalities need to find as part of capacitating the employees and the councillors to be able to effectively deliver upon the required service and responding to the needs of our communities? So I thought, Chair, that's my view. I wouldn't want to go into asking questions, but I just think that this is one of the conversations that we should be having to be able to assist. Thank you.
The last person, Mishwana.
Thank you, Chairperson, and my most sincere apologies for coming late. I got stuck on the roof. My question is partly covered, but I would like to take it further. It's about your weaknesses. The lack of commitment. I'm looking at those lack of commitment by like your stakeholders. I mean, if you know that they're not committed, we need to find out the way for the plan to change this, because it's a very good thing to note the weaknesses. Like, I have to thank you for coming up with a sort of analysis, because it tells us exactly where you are. But is there a plan to change all this, especially the fact that people are just not confident in their day? And secondly, on page 10, there's a training of this under your achievement. You're saying that these are the counselors that you trained, but this is informed by request from municipalities. And should a municipality not request you, while you have all the information of all the municipalities, all of them, 230 people, they sit down and they don't request, don't you have a way of getting them and maybe advising them? Because I think the greatest challenge that we're sitting with is that they may not even be aware that they need assistance on that particular area. Is there a way to make sure that you don't just wait for them to apply, but you go to their municipality and say, we see that you are not performing? You need to, actually, you ought to have applied. And on page 7, you have your strategic plan, where the amount given for particular project. I'm checking if this one here, the death, and is it informed by that data, or you just decide to put an amount, or there is data in place that will inform you that there are so many people that need that particular training. And before I move out, I want to thank you once again for giving us a report. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I ask the CEO, we have to leave to our next meeting, which is a joint meeting between ourselves and Science and Technology. I know Member Kubayas essentially gave direction. The issues that Member Makubela raised, most of that was also very strategic issues, which I don't necessarily think is just a answer to say. But if you wanted to comment on any strategic matter on that, including Mishwana, and then we want to close. So we're going to give it 2 minutes.
Oh. Chair, I just asked a question about Kwanologa, which is a direct question. Kwanologa is a organized local government chapter of SANC, I suppose. And the matter has been handled such that SALGA as a unitary entity remains as such, and the Kwanologa therefore becomes part of SALGA. There's only now some kind of operational issues there between such organs, and therefore that remains an institution within South African Organizing Association, as any other provincial chapter of the organized government. In agreeing with the chair that a number of issues have been raised now are suggested. They seek to drive us towards a particular direction. And I think we must appreciate that. For example, I've never seen a report in the IGR structure, where in well as a Premier's Coordination Forum, which tables the intervention of the CETA in terms of skills development.
Mm-hmm.
And that could encourage peer review mechanisms to say, if you're not doing well, this is what we must do. For example, I've personally spoken with the mayor of Port St. John's. I'm coming from the Eastern Cape. I said, hey, Chief, the report that your municipality is not providing such support, why are you not doing so? He says, well, we are benefiting from our Tambo district, so that assists, blah, 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 blah. So, no, that's nonsense, you see. So you would begin to know about these things if you approach it that way. So I want to appreciate the intervention by members, which is so suggestive in a number of issues which have been dealt with here.
Thank you. Can we thank
the CETA? Can we also request, if you are able to, because there's a few documents that you've agreed to give us. One, for example, just that opinion, which is an old opinion. Don't go and find any new opinion necessary. Two is, there is a harmonization thereafter, at least in 2 weeks, between the department and yourself on the issue. We know the opinion will not harmonize it now, but that's just the status where you're operating from. The third issue would relate to, I picked up the RPL question. I don't necessarily want you to respond now. We've got a general concern that we speak RPL, but we don't do RPL. So if you can just respond for us on that issue also, just in a synopsis. I think the bigger, you raised the issue of STF and the appropriate positioning of STF in municipalities. I think when we meet again, it is important for us just to get an assessment, not per municipality in all the detail, but just what is the profiling of STF in this country. Is it junior official somewhere hidden away and therefore they can't act? And then the most strategic question is the overall skills strategy in enhancing skills development within municipalities in terms of its priority issues. If needs be, we will convene a meeting between the, ourselves, the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs, and also invite the Portfolio Committee. So there must be some form of strategic engagement on this matter, at least in the next while. But we will revert back to you. Thanks so much. Members, we are now going to B227.
Thank you.